Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yes, that line falls on the right bay. Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Chris McMahon here with you on The Fan 203. As we take it till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a great Father's Day. I did, except for my Yankees, because, of course, well, they lost two of three to the Red Sox, and now the season's over, which is a bummer. I was really hyped up for this year. I was looking forward to it, and to have it end in June is really disappointing. I got to be honest with you. But, hey, let's talk about the positive first. We'll get to those Yankees. But the Mets are on fire! Just when you thought you were out, they sucked you back in. As the Mets have won 5 in a row, 9 of 11, sweep the Padres in this important stretch that we told you. As we said goodbye to you on Friday, we told you about this stretch for the Mets, playing all these winnable games against under 500 teams. I know the Padres are now under 500. We're a couple games over 500, but a Padres team that is by no means anything special. And to have the homestand that they've had, where they've won 5 of 6, right? And they're on the precipice of losing a terrible game against the Marlins. They come through and win that game. They finish it off with a sweep of the Padres. And, I mean, we talk about it. What do you believe in this team? And I think that's where the fan base is. And I'm sure the fan base is really split on what to do with this team. But I'll tell you why I do take a lot out of this stretch of baseball and of these games, because we talk about it, I talk about it a lot. The strength of this team was going to have to be its offense. We knew what the rotation was coming in, and it's been better than you could have hoped for. And we knew the bullpen, although they made some additions and you thought they could be strong, they've gone through a bunch of different injuries and you know, the Lopez thing and now Diaz coming back. But ultimately, you knew the offense was going to have to carry this team if they were going to get anywhere, and you knew they could. Like, if you look at the names on the roster, they should be good enough. And now you start to see, as Lindor is waking up, as hopefully this 3-run home run again for Alonso in the first inning can open him up and get him going. And now J.D. Martinez, who was the only addition they made, and we talked about it when he signed here, that he was a stabilizing professional hitter in the middle of the lineup that was desperately needed for this team to actually be something offensively. Right? He was desperately needed. Just another guy. You didn't need to go out there and do a ton. Right? You put money into you put money into Nimmo. You put money into, obviously, Lindor with the enormous contract. You got, unfortunately, McNeil still make, you know, under contract, and he's still as terrible as ever. I mean, if he are blue, it used to be, oh, typical Jeff McNeil with a nice blue pit over the first pit. Now that's all he does. Every once in a while, he'll give you a blue pit. But ultimately, this offense and their instant nature of popping back, like what I like about what yesterday's game was, is the immediacy of getting right back on top of San Diego here, where they give up the run in the first, and then boom, you're tied at 1 with Lindor. The 3-run home run from Alonso makes it 4-1. And then, of course, what happens in the eighth inning. And that's the other thing. It's not only just the offense that is completely turned around, and the strength has to be the strength, no doubt. But you could just get the feel how many times both the Friday night game and then, of course, Sunday's game here yesterday, where you're watching that game and you're watching it slip away and you're watching it fall apart and you fully expect the Mets to lose this game. You fully expect them to lose. All year long, they have done this. All year long, they have blown saves. They have blown leads. And for that eighth inning to go the way it did, and then to come right back in the bottom of the eighth and score the four runs and put this game on easy street is an enormous win for this team. And the offense, who did it against a pitcher in Dylan Cease, who is a top-of-the-league pitcher, who has been an ace in this league for the White Sox, who's having a very good year, to jump on him early, score four runs in the first, take the big lead, watch it almost slip away, and then come right back with four runs in the eighth. The team is starting to show fight. And whether it was back to the meeting, whatever the case may be, whenever this thing started to turn around, you knew it was going to have to turn around with the offense. And Nimmo has done nothing. And then look at this weekend. J.D. Martinez, it was taking some time for him to start to get a rhythm here. And now what, he had a streak of 10 straight at bats, getting on base, hitting multiple home runs, hitting big home runs, walk-off home runs, the first of his career. Big hits in the middle of that lineup. Marte's having a good year. And now if you could get Lindor and if you can get Alonso to go along with J.D. Martinez to get going in the middle of this lineup, Alvarez is back. Like, this lineup has the potential as you look around the rest of the National League. Hell, if you look around the rest of baseball. Right? No one's, you know, Atlanta, their offense has completely fallen apart. They can't score runs. No one's expecting you to catch Philadelphia, but as you look around the rest of the National League, and yes, they are now a game and a half out of the wild card. And as much as I might tell you, I don't know if I believe in this team yet, a game and a half, you can't argue it. And I could tell you how many teams they have to jump over. I don't think any of them, are superior to the Mets in any way. And if you start looking at tiebreakers, which might become important here when you're trying to get through all these teams. I was listening to Evan's podcast on the way in, and they have tiebreaker except everyone except San Francisco. They've got the tiebreaker on everyone but San Francisco. They got the tiebreaker on, they're tied with Arizona, they're tied with the Cubs, they got the tiebreaker on St. Louis, they've got the tiebreaker now on the Padres. Like, they've played well against the teams that are in front. They got the tiebreaker against the Cincinnati Reds. Like, other than the Giants, all these teams that are in front of them, they've played well. These games are important. These games against the Cubs coming up are going to be important. And right now, it feels like, and I know it's the recency bias, they've won 9 of 11. They haven't lost the series going back to the Lopez game and the Dodger series. And they've just played a crisper, cleaner game. Even McNeil. Who still is terrible offensively, makes the big defensive play Friday night. His ability to play outfield and infield still gives him some value here, despite his bat being terrible. But he made a huge play defensively at second base. He's capable in the outfield.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple.
For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But this lineup has started to get it going. And as you see, and now they are what? Four games under 500. They've won 9 of 11, 5 in a row. And this offense has kind of woken up here. And yesterday's performance against Dylan Cease, to go down 1-0 in a game, and when you start to feel things like this, like the Mets typically, right? If they're going to play this series against the Padres, they take the first two. Right, you got McGill on the mound, pitching relatively well recently. He's kind of probably due for a blow-up. He gives up one run in the first against Dylan Cease, and boom! It's tied before you sit down, and then Alonso hits the three-run home run, and you've put up four in the first inning against a damn good pitcher. And then even though the eighth inning and the bullpen still scares you, no doubt there's still holes on this team, absolutely. And they're going to have to do it more than just this. Now they're going to have to go on the road. And you know what? They've been better on the road. This is an important homestand to go 5-6 because they've been terrible at home. Dating back to the first series of the year, the first homestand of the year. And then the 10-game homestand, and we told you how important that was. They were miserable in that homestand. To have a good homestand, to come back from the Philadelphia series in London, to be able to build on the sweep of the Nationals, the two games against Philadelphia, that miraculous win, come back, you get the enormous win, which I think right now, as much as we might want to date back, they've been playing better baseball for longer than this. If you want to date back to the meeting, you want to date back to the Lopez situation, whatever you want to date back to, that win against Miami, that home run from J.D. Martinez, that is an enormous swing game that propels you into this series where you take all three. Because if you come back from London and you lose 2 of 3 to the lousy Marlins, it just sets the homestand in a negative tone. Instead, they get off the deck, they get JD's first walk-off career home run, and it sets up leading into this Padres series. You're getting good starting pitching, the bullpen's bend but don't break, and the offense that needs to be the catalyst for this team. Where you got Nimmo, who's been struggling, has a great weekend. Alonso hits the big home run, and you're hoping you can get him started because, let's be honest, this season right now has been extremely disappointing. He's on pace for, what, 30-70? I mean, numbers way down for Pete Alonso. Marte's been pretty good for a while now. I mean, there's Vientos really struggled this weekend for the first time this season. There are the lineup top to bottom with the way the J.D. Martinez now has changed this. The middle of the order has been so much better and makes you feel so much better about this team moving forward because it would have to be the offense. If they just went through this series shutting down the Padres' offense and won these games 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, I might not feel the same way. Scoring these runs, bouncing back after being down, having these late-inning rallies fall short and still claiming victory, it feels a little bit different. And it feels like the momentum is turning. And so as you head into this stretch now where you're going to go on the road and play some big games, this is where you can turn your season around. And they're going to have to because I talked about it the last time we spoke on Friday. They don't have a lot of time. Because in my opinion, they have a GM who'd probably rather break it down. He can't do it if they put themselves in a position to win. He can't do it. They don't have 3 months. The season's not just halfway through. Hey, they got plenty of time. No, they have a few weeks here to really put themselves in a position where it doesn't make sense to trade away pieces in this rotation. It doesn't make sense to trade away JD Martinez. It only makes sense to chase it because anything can happen. They have a brief moment here to put themselves in a position where the GM can't do what he wants. And as much as I've been down on this team, as much as I'm still not sure how I feel about them, I'll tell you what, this brand of baseball they've played here during this homestand, the offense waking up, hopefully Alonso turning it around, and JD Martinez being a stabilizing force in the middle of that lineup, who's a career RBI man, who's come through with big hits, who's getting on base. And if you could ever get Nimmo turned around, Lindor is turning it around, and the middle of this lineup, which we said heading into the year, on paper, can be as good as anyone. As I'm watching the Braves have continued to struggle offensively, no one in this National League scares me. So why not the Mets? Why not the Mets? Why not believe? Why not believe? Because if it's the offense doing it, I believe it. If this was straight up reliant on a great start from Severino, McGill gives you a great performance, you win these games tight, I might not feel the same way. Because this offense needed to explode. They needed to get some good signs from it. They needed to perform well at home. They checked off a bunch of boxes in this homestand and in this series against San Diego. And for me, right now, looking at this team, why not the Mets, who are now a game and a half out? And I think right now we can put the conversation about who they trade away. I think you can put the Pete Alonso conversation away for a brief time. You can put away the idea of JD Martinez getting traded and Severino getting traded. Ideas that I've perpetuated over the last 2 weeks. I think you put it away and watch what they do over this next road trip and see if they can get themselves in a position where they are right there for the wild card. And if that's the case, you can't make any deals at the deadline because you have to chase this thing. And no, it's not Grimace. I'm tired of watching this stupid highlight. Does anybody care? It's Grimace's birthday, throwing out the first pitch in those ugly City Connect jerseys. My God. But that's the negative. The positive is the Mets are back. And tell me, Mets fans, how do you feel about it? 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019, and then we'll get to the Yankees, who obviously had a dreadful series against the Red Sox after pouring it on in Game 1. You got the first pitch home run from Verdugo, and it just felt like, oh yeah, the Yankees are going to roll. And then all the different things, because this team is not perfect. And as much as I'll tell you how good they are, and I'm going to defend a lot of you idiots tonight, I'm sure, talking about how they're not nearly as good as you think. This is going to be 2022 all over again. There are flaws with this team. And the Red Sox, of all the teams this year, the Yankees have lost series. They just lost a series to L.A. They've had moments where they haven't played well. They've been shut out five times earlier in the season. But no team has yet shown the wounds and the holes of this Yankee team the way the Red Sox did the last 2 days, and we'll get to it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to a call right now. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, T-Mac. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not bad. So, you kind of alluded to it with JD. Kind of, real quick, you look at it from a whole city standpoint, it's kind of crazy. You look at, if you could single out, obviously you guys got Soto too, but talking about Verdugo and Martinez and Queens, kind of two culture shifters, and the fact that more likely than not, both are going to be one and done here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez especially, it seems like Verdugo kind of seems like, pick your poison with you guys. Obviously, you'd rather have either one, but as far as, JD goes, oh. I mean, listen, and I think one thing with Martinez is when they had the players-only meeting, they interviewed some of the guys in the clubhouse, and JD specifically had a quote that I think he got some crap for. But if you look at it, he was telling the truth, telling it as it was. He basically said that, the league looks at us as a bunch of losers. And, if that's the case, there's essentially no pressure on us.
Yeah.
And if everybody just expects us to go out there and lose, then why would the pressure be on us in the first place? And he's honestly right. Anybody talking about it as loser talk or whatnot, it's true. And, from that sentiment of just going out there and playing ball, I mean, they're playing winning baseball right now. Looking at it from a house money standpoint, not so much. But, I mean, they got nothing to prove to anybody, and they're on a five-game winning streak. Now, you bring up the game and a half back, that's kind of fool's gold because, there are like six, seven teams in between them that are like a half game back. So, Excuse me with that, but
no. Listen, I agree with you, and I've been saying that, yeah. that it's not just the games; it's the amount of teams ahead of them. But if you start to look at it, they've played well against those teams, mm-hmm. other than San Francisco. I believe they're either tied against them, or have won more games and have the tiebreaker against almost all the teams ahead of them. It is still only a game and a half. Like if it were four or five, six games, and you say to yourself, "Well, you could make up six games, you could make up five games. It's not that big a deal." And yet, there are all these teams ahead of you. That's when you really start to say, "Well, yes, it's not really five games, though, is it? This is a game and a half." I mean, you're right.
Yeah,
it's all jumbled up, but it's a game and a half.
Well, they got some of these teams coming up. I think they got the Cubs next weekend.
Right.
I know they're going to Texas right now. They got the teams coming up.
Yeah.
We also, and I know prior to the homestand, you were kind of bringing up how crucial it was and the fact that were they like 3-7 they finished and how many of those were the bullpen issues. And I think two of them specifically against San Fran, you just brought up, is one of those teams where two of those bullpen slip-ups, two of the six games they had
no doubt.
With their hands and let up split. So I think you look back at that as, you know, now there's a lot more, you know, lost value to those games. You know, you win, let's say, four out of those six of those games, and you're in one of those wild card spots. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, no, there's no doubt. The amount of games they've blown and Diaz's kind of, you know, hiccup or lack of confidence that he went through is killer for this team. There's no doubt. I mean, a couple of the games they blew are devastating losses. The one in Miami against the D-backs. Like, there are games that just absolutely kill you. But that doesn't change the fact of where they are. But you're right. They got the series against the Rangers, and then they have a weekend series against the Cubs where they've split a four-game set at home already. If they, you know, that's an important series now as you start to look into making hay into this wild card race. They have to win two out of three. They have to win two out of three.
Yeah, got to keep pace.
Gotta keep pace, and then you're playing the Yankees, who are clearly falling apart, and that should be an easy two wins against the Yankees. And then you got the Astros, who are having a miserable season and just devastated by injury. So we talked about this stretch all the way up until the All-Star break. Like they're playing a lot of average teams to below average teams, under 500 teams to start July. Then you get a four game set against the Nationals and a four game set against Pittsburgh for an 8-game road trip. You come home against the Nationals and Rockies. I mean, those are the teams leading into this All-Star break. This team could look completely different as we sit at the All-Star break. They're four games under 500 right now. They are they're a game and a half behind the wild card with a bunch of teams in between them, no doubt. But I mean, in the next 3 weeks, you could feel completely different about this team.
No, I mean, listen, it takes one run from any team. I mean, you look at Arizona last year, you know, just to point out two teams, you brought up the Cubs. I mean, they had that wild card spot essentially locked up, and speaking of letting stuff slip, in 2 weeks they let that whole spot slip. Arizona snuck in. You know, the rest was history. So, you know, you brought up golden opportunities. You know, you let some slip early on. You know, you make up for them, and, hey, man, just stay part of the course. You brought Diaz, looks solid against Miami, hitting triple digits on the gun. So, I don't know, man. They got to move the needle.
Yeah, and another thing that I think I like a lot about the manager, too, I think it's kind of gone underrated, and I think people just assumed, like, once it happened, it felt like, oh, well, what else was he going to do? They didn't have to put Diaz right back to the closer. He's coming off the injury. He lost his job. He did nothing to earn it back. He comes back from the injury, and he's told he's the closer again. And he's come in, and he's been good for the most part. A little shaky, but, I mean, that's what I think that was a smart move from this manager. And look, is he perfect? No. Could you nitpick some of the things that happened in this inning? Could you let, you know, Hauser go a little bit deeper into this game? Sure. He's someone who's been stretched out. He was in the rotation earlier. He's pitched well since he's been moved to the bullpen. He's going all right. No need to rush to put in, who came in next? Diekman. But, I mean, overall, I think he's dealt with a struggling offense, a bullpen that's fallen apart around him, and just an overall vibe to the team that I'll give it to him. Sometimes meetings are meaningless unless you turn around and play like this, but I admit, J.D. Martinez, who's been as big a part of this stretch of good baseball, obviously, in the middle of this lineup, has referenced it several times. Has referenced the meeting several times. And you know what? Perception's reality. And if he's going to tell us all the meeting made a difference, and if they're going to believe the meeting made a difference, then the meeting made a difference. But to me, that game in against Miami was the turning point. And yes, you wanted to go sweep this game, sweep this series. Now you're on a bit of momentum here. You can go back to playing solid baseball further than that. But I think that game, if you lose 2 out of 3 to Miami, it just kills you. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't have bounced back and won 3 against San Diego, but I felt like they wouldn't have. But I mean, yeah, they're all jumbled up. They are still behind everybody except the Rockies and the Marlins. They are tied with the Cubs. They're half a game back of Pittsburgh. They're half a game back of the Reds. But like, if you look at it, all the teams that are ahead of them, right? The Cardinals, they have the tiebreaker. They lost 2 out of 3 and then took the 2-game set. That was rained out the third game, which I guess they'll have a game coming up later in the year. They just swept the Padres. They've swept the Nationals. They split with the Diamondbacks. They've lost to San Francisco. They won the series against the Reds. I believe they swept Pittsburgh, but they at least won the series against Pittsburgh. They've split with the Cubs and have the series coming up. Like, they are right there with all these teams. They're no less than a game and a half behind San Diego and pretty much a half a game behind everybody else. And they've played well and won these games against the teams that are ahead of them. There is no reason that the Mets, who have won 8 of their last 10, 9 of their last 11, and 5 in a row, whose offense is starting to wake up, who just had their first real, what feels like successful, winning homestand. The offense is getting it together. The starting rotation has been good. Even the guys McGill has stepped in and pitched well. You finally got Quintana, gave you a good start on Saturday. Like, you're starting to get all the pieces to fall in, which to me is namely the offense. Because despite Quintana, you kind of have had a decent starting rotation. And the first month or so, the bullpen was very good. The main reason this team's been losing, the reason they are where they are, the reason they're four games under 500, is because this offense has stunk. The offense has been wildly inconsistent. Lindor got off to a terrible start. Alonso still really hasn't looked like himself. Nimmo has gone up and down and up and down. McNeil is absolutely washed, in my opinion. He looks awful at the plate. JD Martinez was injured for the first three or four weeks, whatever it was, and then come back, and it's taken him some time to get his footing. But we know what he's capable of. And right now it feels like he, solidifying the middle of the order and Lindor at least getting a little bit hot, has kind of transformed the offense. And if the offense is going to be the strength of the team, then they can still be what we hoped they could be, which was a team that can score some runs and maybe get some good starting pitching. And honestly, they still have guys in the wings there. The minor league, the guys in AAA right now, the starting pitching depth, when you look at McGill and Peterson and obviously Christian Scott down in the minor leagues, like, they've got some arms here where I'm actually, and if Kodai Senga ever comes back, like, you feel pretty good about the rotation. Right? The bullpen right now, if Diaz can at least get back to being, 80% of what he was 2 years ago. Like, this team, there's no reason this team can't figure out a way to compete in this National League if they're going to swing the bats like this. And that's what's changed over the last 11 games or 15 games or since the team meeting. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock. We'll take your baseball calls. I do want to get to something football-related a little bit later in the show. We can spend more time on it tomorrow. But there has been a comparison made by almost everybody that is driving me up a wall. There has been a giant comparison that is just driving me absolutely crazy.